Welcome to Anti-War Radio. This is Eric Garris, the director of Antiwar.com, your guest host for this half hour. And with me is Congressman Alan Grayson, freshman congressman from Florida, who has made one of the biggest splashes that I've seen for a freshman congressman. And he's here to talk mainly about his excellent bill, The War is Making You Poor Bill. Welcome to the program, Congressman Grayson.
Thanks. I'm really excited about our bill, H.R. 5353. What I noticed when I was looking at the budget for next year that the president submitted is that it's got $549 billion for the base defense budget, which is basically just what they say they need to keep the lights on at the Pentagon. And then in addition to that, it's got $159 billion more for the wars. $549 billion is as much as everyone else in the world spends on their so-called defense put together. It's five times more than what the Chinese spend. It's 10 times more than what the Russians spend. And I thought that $559 billion was enough. So I introduced a bill to take that $159 billion in addition to that they wanted, and say that we'll use that money instead for two things. The first thing is to eliminate income taxes on everybody's first $35,000 of income. That costs only $144 billion, and people are amazed to learn that if you simply eliminated the additional cost of the war, you could give everybody $35,000 tax-free. And we take the remaining money that's left over, $15 billion, and we do use that to reduce the deficit. And our bill has been scored by the Joint Committee on Taxation, and that's what the numbers are. The Joint Committee on Taxation, which is a bipartisan body, has determined that if you simply eliminated the additional money that the administration wants for the war, you could, in fact, eliminate taxes on everybody's first $35,000 of income, which means $70,000 for married couples. And in addition to that, reduce the deficit. That's the bill. It's four pages.
That's a great bill. I'm very excited about this bill because not only is it anti-war, but it ties in both taxation and the deficit. To make people realize where their money is going.
Exactly. And if this bill passed, then over a third of all Americans who are paying taxes now would not have to pay a single red cent in taxes. And everybody else would have their first $35,000 tax-free.
One of the things that's really amazing about this bill is that it actually, in addition to being a great bill, it's educational. It explains to people where their money is going and how much of it is going to war and how much they could save by getting rid of that money going to war.
Well, the military-industrial complex has gone out of its way to hide the cost of war, giving tax cuts to the rich at the same time as starting two wars that seem to be endless. And that's part of their plan. They want us to keep using the Chinese credit card and the so-called volunteer army to make these wars appear to be painless when war is never painless.
What do you see? How many co-sponsors do you have, and what are your expectations for and hopes for the bill this year?
We have 20 co-sponsors so far. I'm hopeful that we'll get more. I'm particularly hopeful that we'll be able to get the Democratic leadership on board, because people like John Conyers have already joined the bill. The chairman of the Veterans Committee, Bob Filner, has joined the bill. So the leadership is already involved in making this bill try to make progress. I'm hoping to see a hearing that illustrates for people the true cost of the war, followed by a vote in committee, and then a vote on the floor.
How hopeful are you that this is actually going to take place? I know that it's very, very difficult to get bills on the floor these days. Sometimes you have to give up something in order to get that.
Well, we have opportunities from time to time where votes are needed. And one of the common trade-offs that's made is people say, I might support your bill if you let my bill go for a vote on the floor. When you're talking about something that's germane to the situation, like, for instance, this additional $30 billion plus that they're asking us to vote on this week, it's very natural to say, if you want my support on that bill, I want to see Grayson's bill voted on as well. And I don't know if it's going to happen this week. I doubt that. But from time to time, these opportunities do come up when we can force people to get on record as to whether they support the military-industrial complex or whether they support peace. I think Denis Kucinich has done a great job of that through the years, making sure that we put people on record that way. And over time, people's minds change. And you can see that over time, the support for the war has dropped. Certainly, that's true of the public. Twice as many people now believe the war in Afghanistan is the war that we're losing, as opposed to the people who think that we're winning it. God only knows what winning a war really means in this context. But I think over time, people are changing their minds, and politicians are slowly coming along.
What do you think of what happened recently with Petraeus? Do you think that the I was kind of disappointed to see so many people talking about whether or not Petraeus's appointment to the Afghanistan command is going to help the war or hurt it, rather than people talking about maybe this is time to look at ending the war.
Well, it's a missed opportunity. We need to stop leaving these decisions in the command of the military-industrial complex. The military-industrial complex determines our foreign policy and our military policy. Big oil determines our energy policy. And Wall Street determines our economic policy. That's the sad situation that we find ourselves in right now. And we have to break through that. We have to go back to government of the people, by the people, and for the people. People overwhelmingly want peace. In fact, the only way to get them to support a war is to fool them, to make them think that they're under attack. I don't know why anybody would believe at this point that we're any safer because we send our young men and women 8,000 miles away to stick guns in the faces of local people.
Yeah, it seems ridiculous. You had the CIA chief over the weekend state that there are between 50 and 100 al-Qaeda members in Afghanistan, yet what we're supposedly trying to do there is keep Afghanistan safe from al-Qaeda.
Well, in fact, General Petraeus said last year, more than a year ago now, that al-Qaeda had left Afghanistan. They weren't there anymore. So I think that the military-industrial complex better get its story straight. What are we supposed to believe? They left and they came back? What happened? Was there no room at the inn for a while?
What do you think are the prospects of getting out of Afghanistan in the next few years? Do you think that the 2012 drawdown is realistic, or do you think that, especially since Obama said yesterday that he thinks people are obsessed with the idea of getting out of Afghanistan?
I don't know what to say to something like that. Obsessed with saving lives, obsessed with improving America's standing in the world, obsessed with no longer giving the other side a reason to attack us. Okay, well, that really means, when you come down to it, obsessed with liberty, security, and peace. Okay, I'm guilty.
Well, it is pretty disappointing to see that being the predominant discussion now, is that we're looking at even abandoning the false 2012 drawdown date. Now it looks like we could be there for a long, long time.
Well, there's a lot of slippage in the president's promises on this subject. We actually introduced the bill, The War is Making You Poor, 16 months to the day after the president was sworn in, because, as you may recall, he said we'd be out of Iraq in 16 months. That didn't happen. I don't know. Maybe we have a president who just wants to keep disappointing people. It'd be an interesting approach. Doesn't seem to do much for most people's political career to act that way, but maybe he's different. I don't know.
We have to go to a break right now, but we'll be back in a moment with Congressman Alan Grayson.
Listen to LRN.FM on any phone, anytime, 760-569-7753. That's 760-569-7753.
It's all live from baseball, the Apple Pie Bomb. Waco, Texas, Heaven's Gate, the Oklahoma Bomb. The Desert Storm Syndrome experiment that went wrong. Inject our own, cause they probably won't come home anyway.
The Vietnam conflict was a mere experiment. No. Soldiers came back from the war, couldn't tell you where they went. And commandos.
Well, this is Eric Garris with Anti-War Radio. Our guest host, and today we're interviewing Congressman Alan Grayson from Florida, the author of The War is Making You Poor Bill. Welcome back, Congressman.
Yes, thanks. It's great to be on. I'm really pleased to be able to find an audience like yours. You know, a lot of modern life, particularly in politics, consists of just finding people who are kindred spirits, and that's what your show helps to do. So thank you for that.
Oh, well, thank you very much. There's an excellent article today in Salon about you and about your campaigns. One of the things that I was not aware of was that you were elected and beat a four-term Republican congressman in 2008, and that this is a Republican district, and you were able to break through.
Yeah, it's exciting. Because I think this what this shows is that if you give people a real choice, then they're willing to support someone who's a real Democrat, someone who supports peace and education and health. I never believed that the way to beat a Republican was to pretend to be one. And we gave people a real choice, and even in a district like mine, which Charlie Cook's rates as a Republican district, despite that, people gave me the ability to represent them. I won by only 52% of the vote, and I am the first Democrat to represent Orlando, Florida in 34 years. But I haven't pulled any punches because I think people are entitled to have a choice, and that's what we've given them. We've given them a choice between going forward and going backward. It's the same choice I think people thought they were making in the 2008 presidential election, and I, for one, think that we need to make the progress in solving our problems in healthcare and education, in all sorts of areas, including in peace. We need peace. So I'm going to continue to do the job this way, because it's really the only way that I'm comfortable in doing it. I think people deserve a choice.
And it's interesting that you mentioned that you don't want to run as a Republican, but a recent poll showed that Republicans would elect you if you were running in the Republican primary.
Well, right. It turns out that populism is popular, and people like a congressman with guts. That's what they're seeing. We did that poll, and we found that I have more support than any of the Republicans running in the Republican primary for the booby prize of being the candidate who gets to face me in November. And that for sure it's going to be the worst 10 weeks of their life after the primary, because they're going to have to explain why people would want to go backward to a leadership that brought us two endless wars, brought the country to the brink of national bankruptcy, destroyed 20% of our wealth in the last 18 months of the Bush administration, and did nothing to promote progress in this country.
And I see that the Republican congressional campaign has targeted you as their number one target.
Yeah, what an honor that is. The executive director of the National Republican Congressional Committee, the people who are in charge of running the Republican Party's elections for the House, he said I'm their number one target for 2010. And you have to wonder why. I mean, there are other districts that are being represented by Democrats. Maybe none of those districts is represented by a Democrat like me. I'm actually the only Democrat who voted to cut off funding for the war who was in a Republican district. The only one.
Yes, I noticed that you were one of the few, one of only 60, I believe, 60 or 65 Congress people who voted for the Dennis Kucinich bill to immediately withdraw from Afghanistan.
Yes, and every single one of those Democrats who voted for the Kucinich bill, other than me, is a Democrat who is in a district rated as a Democratic district by Charlie Cook, who does these ratings for the 435 House districts around the country. I am in an R+2 district. That means that historically in my district, Republicans actually have the advantage by 2%. And as I said before, I just don't know any other way to do this. This is why I'm here. I prosecuted war profiteers in Iraq before I was elected, spent years of my life doing that. I'm not going to change my mind about the war anytime soon. As General Smedley Butler said, war is a racket.
Well, you seem to be, of course, Ron Paul, a Republican, voted for the withdrawal from Afghanistan, and he's one of the co-sponsors of the War is Making You Poor bill. You seem very much like the mirror image to Ron Paul on the Democratic side as a maverick, and but still able to get bipartisan support. And I know that you've been working with Ron Paul quite a bit on a number of bills, most notably the Audit the Fed bill.
Yes, it turns out that progressives and libertarians have a few things in common. One is a respect for civil liberties. Another one is a desire for peace. A third one is a distaste for the enormous power, economic power, embodied in the Federal Reserve. People aren't aware of this that much, but the Federal Reserve last year handed out $500 billion to foreigners and financed all sorts of bailouts in other countries. Without actually helping anybody save their home or save their job here in America.
There was a big YouTube video where you were questioning Elizabeth Coleman of the Federal Reserve, and that she didn't even realize some of the things that you were bringing up.
Yes, I asked her what happened to the $1 trillion with a T that the Federal Reserve handed out in the 8 months before I asked her the question. And she said she didn't know. This is the Inspector General of the Federal Reserve. I think we all felt disgusted by that, Democratic and Republican, liberal, conservative, libertarian, whatever. So Ron Paul and I joined together. I was the first Democratic sponsor of his bill to audit the Federal Reserve, a bill that has been around for 26 years, and we finally got that passed this year for the first time because I spent weeks going to my Democratic colleagues one by one, explaining the bill to them, and getting them to sign up on it. And that's a good formula for success right now. People want bipartisanship in solving our problems. And there is the possibility of doing that. In the same way that we were able to do that with the Fed, I'm hoping that we can do that with peace.
Well, this is the kind of bipartisanship I like to see, where you're working with people like Ron Paul on both peace and in the area of fighting against government power over the economy.
Well, it's true. I think that both libertarians and progressives share an animosity toward entrenched power, whether it's in the government, in the corporate world, or otherwise. When you talk to libertarians on this subject, they don't express much admiration for huge multinational corporations that dominate everyday life. Instead, they talk about how nice it would be if everybody could work for a small business. So there's a lot of commonality there. There's something to work with, and it's better to find common ground than to be fighting all the time and getting nothing done. We have a lot that we need to do. In the area of healthcare, we spend 35% more than any other country in the world. We still have 40 million people in this country who are uninsured. And our life expectancy is now 50th in the world, below Albania. And they had a communist dictatorship for half a century. What's our excuse?
Well,
we have a lot of work to do, and I think we're going to try to improve that. And in the case of peace, I think we have to work. I've laid out my platform on congressmanwithguts.com, and I'd like people to see it.
Go to that website, congressmanwithguts.com, and also call your congressman and tell them that you want them to support the War is Making You Poor bill.
We have videos from Oliver Stone, Martin Sheen, lots of videos to show people that there is force for peace today in America.
Well, thank you very much, Congressman, for coming on, and I hope to have you on again soon.
Thanks. Thank you very much, too.
Thank
God bless your peace-loving audience.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.